From the 49ers, Warriors, Giants, A's, Sharks, and Raiders, this is Mark Kestisher, voice of the NBA, MLB, and NFL on ESPN Radio. If it's Bay Area action you seek, we're talking about it from the South Bay to the North Bay and everywhere in between. We've got you covered. Now get ready for Bay Area Sports Wrap with Lowell Tuckerman, Marco Ukalovich, and Ryan Leon.
Debo Samuel in motion. Brock Purdy will dump it off to McCaffrey. He's got a blocker. He's headed for the end zone, and Christian McCaffrey has a 49er touchdown.
Welcome to Bay Area Sports Wrap. Alongside Ryan Leon, I am Marco Ukalovich, and it's time to recap the final week of the NFL season here in the Bay Area. We had the 49ers just dominate and win over the Arizona Cardinals, and it was a total complete beatdown. I believe it was 38-13 was the final score in that game. Brock Purdy, again, he's emerging himself as the starter that the Niners hoped they were going to have with Trey Lance. They saw that with Jimmy G, but it just seems like now you got a little bit of a combination between both Jimmy G with the poise that he has in the commanding in the back of the pocket, and then Trey Lance, where he's able to use his legs and scramble out and keep plays alive. And he showed that again against the Cardinals. It was good to get the Niners had Debo Samuel back. And the way I just see that this team now winning 10 in a row to close out a season, that does not happen a lot. Rarely does that happen. And to go into the playoffs on a 10-game winning streak, the number two seed in the NFC, Ryan, this team is looking like they're the team to beat, despite Philadelphia being the number one seed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I didn't watch the highlights of the Giants game, but I know that the Giants basically rested most of their starters, and they didn't take the game very seriously. So you knew right there the Niners had no chance of that top seed. And as we've talked about on previous shows, you can only get the week off if you're the number one seed. So that means Philly got the week off and the Chiefs got the week off in the AFC. So the Niners will be hosting the Seattle Seahawks this Saturday afternoon at 1:30 Levi Stadium. Marco, I know you'll be there. I'll be there. Got my parking pass. So I'm all set to go. And, you know, it's supposed to rain, so thank God for the press box.
Yeah. I was going to say, one thing that's nice about the Levi Stadium press box, other than the great spread of food that they provide for us during the game, is that we're protected from the weather. So that is a nice thing. And I think we're both going to enjoy that this Saturday at 1:30 when we're in there getting geared up for this game. And I just look that way the 49ers have been playing this final 2 months of the season. Again, they're finally healthy now. You have a team that had a 10-game winning streak, and yet there was injury after injury after injury that they sustained, and yet it didn't affect them. It didn't let them, you know, it didn't bring them down emotionally. They have made the next man up mentality is what you need to have to be a winning team, a playoff team, a contending team that this team is. And I'm looking forward to their playoff run here. I guess started off against a divisional opponent that they know very well in Seattle. And I think that knowing how well they played against Seattle this season, I don't see this game being that competitive, maybe the first half. But I think, if anything, the Niners are going to get out to a quick lead, and they're going to be all over Geno Smith and that offensive line. When you have Nick Bosa, who had, I believe, 17 and a half, 18 sacks this season, I think he's looking at his chops for this game. And as rest, the linebackers are going to be all over. They're led by Fred Warner, Ray Greenlaw, who should have been a Pro Bowler this year, was not. You got the secondary playing a lot better this year. I don't really see that there's any real weaknesses on this team. And the Niners are again, going into the playoffs like you should, healthy and firing in all cylinders.
Yeah, and I had a chance to talk to George Kittle after the game and asked him about that 10-game win streak. So we'll play his thoughts on that.
You guys are at a position now where you can't lose, obviously, now. So how do you feel about moving forward and trying to, you know, win out the rest of the season?
I mean, in my opinion, the 10-game win streak, that's awesome. It's really fun. It means nothing now at this point. It got us a position of securing a 2-seed. So we get to play at home for 2 weeks. I mean, obviously, we got to win the first one, and we'll figure out who we're playing. But, all that matters now, I mean, everything's a little bit more amplified. You know, hopefully guys are 100% focused on just football. You know, extracurricular activities are kind of just pushed to the side, whether it's, you know, friends, family, whatever it is. If you want to go to restaurants and stuff, how about we just hunker down and, you know, focus on, you know, these next, whatever, 4 or 5 weeks, whatever it is. And I think that I think Fred kind of touched on that, too. It's just we just got to dial it in and just appreciate this moment that we're in because, I mean, I went 0-9. You know, we finished kind of strong. You know, didn't make the playoffs. Went 4-12 my second year. Had a Super Bowl run. Didn't win. 2020, we thought we were great. Had so many injuries. We couldn't win a game. It's the playoffs. 2021. Won a bunch to get in late. And then we didn't make it there. But just, like, this opportunity that we're in is crazy. We had home field advantage for two games, so we better take advantage of it because we've set ourselves up for success, and now we just got to go execute.
Me personally, I mean, I think in a way it would have been nice if the Niners actually didn't have a 10-game win streak to end the season because now they're going to have to go on a 14-game win streak if they're going to win it all. So it's tough. I talked to other people that we work with, and everybody's convinced that, you know, the Niners didn't really get a reset. Maybe the closest thing, of course, was that Raiders game because, you know, they really got punched in the mouth and they've managed to, you know, overcome giving up 500 yards of total offense. I still can't get over that. You give up 500 freaking yards of total offense and you still win the game. So, yeah, they really don't have any weaknesses right now. I mean, you got guys back that didn't even play. I can't even remember how many games Elijah Mitchell even played. Did he only play like maybe two or three games this year, all season?
I believe it maybe total of three or four. Yeah. You count these last two.
Yeah. So he's a guy that can really provide some depth at running back. And, you know, with Deebo Samuel having played a little bit, you know, he's going to be ready to go. Christian McCaffrey's really come on in with the Niners since he's been here. I mean, he's just really rejuvenated this entire offense. And they're a much different team when they first faced Seattle. And they beat them at home handily. And then, of course, the game in Seattle was a lot closer. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't think the Niners have ever beaten the Seahawks three times in a row in a season. And, of course, you know, with a win this Saturday, they'll achieve just that.
Yeah, I mean, again, you look at how just balanced that this team is on offense. You know, this time around, it was Elijah Mitchell who scored the two touchdowns, 55 yards on five carries. You know, McCaffrey had a slow day, 45 for 10, which, you know, it's something you don't want to give these guys a big – you know, load going into the final game when really it didn't mean much and nothing at all, really. And you want to get them prepared for this wild card round, which you know you're going to have to play now. And I think Kyle Shanahan did a good job of doing that. It's distributing the ball throughout the entire offense. No one was the workhorse. And Brock Purdy was a very efficient 15 to 20 for 178 yards and three touchdowns. Yeah, he got sacked four times, but again, it didn't really – you know, proved to be the difference in the game at all. Again, when you blow out a team 38-13, a team that, you know, was missing their starting quarterback and Kyler Murray, and they had a bunch of guys who, you know, were young guys playing in this game and were just trying to see what they would showcase for next season as well. So you knew going in that this was going to be a safe bet that the Niners were going to win. They were going to finish the season on a 10-game winning streak, post a playoff game, and happens to be the first one on the dock this Saturday. So the way I look at this matchup, I just think that the Niners are just going to overpower Seattle. They've been such dominant force these last 2 months of the season that the defense is, and they've proved why they're number one. And I think they're going to go out there and showcase to everyone this Saturday at 1:30 p.m. why they're the best defense in the league and why they're going to dominate the Seattle Seahawks in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just hope the Niners don't have any hangovers like the Warriors have had. Obviously, different sport entirely, but you know, the other day the Warriors hosted the Phoenix Suns, and one of our colleagues, John Dickinson, who hosts the Warriors postgame show, was saying how, oh, this should be a cakewalk. The Suns are missing four of their starters, and I'm like, I don't know if you say that. And sure enough, I was right. I was like, you know, the game turned out to be really close, and the Warriors fought back, but they still ended up losing by a dozen points to a highly undermanned Suns team. I don't know if you saw, I had a chance to play my Instagram story. Had a chance to interview Damian Lee. He was all cheesing with his ring. He put on his shades. He's cheesing with his ring. He's like pointing at the ring. He's like making all these different poses. That guy was hilarious. It was really funny. And I enjoyed talking to him. So that was I was happy for him that he was able to kind of come back and sort of, you know, kind of stick it to the fans a little bit. And I don't think there's any malicious behind it. But I think if nothing else, it was probably to prove to Steph, which Steph already kind of knew, that Damian Lee can play. And he did that. So the reason I bring all that up is, again, with the 49ers, you know, I think they just have to have a very singular focus, which they've had. So I anticipate another game. I don't know if they're going to score like 38 points like they did against the Cardinals, but I could see the Niners getting somewhere like maybe, what, 28 to 31 points, somewhere in that neighborhood?
Yeah, I definitely can see that in this game as well. You know, Seattle's defense, again, has improved, but they're not the same ever since their Legion of Boom teams from back in the, you know, early 2010s. They're just not that kind of a caliber of defense that's going to be able to really stop the 49ers. Again, you got so much of a balanced attack with this team. Kyle Shanahan knows what plays to draw to certain people. Again, you know, are they going to be able to cover George Kittle over the middle? You know, can they cover, you know, Brandon Ayuk or Deebo doing a deep post? You know, you got Ray McLeod, you got Juwan Jennings, guys who can, when they're speed burners, they can do a deep go route and open up everything underneath. And then you got the running attack, Christian McCaffrey, now Elijah Mitchell. I don't see how this team, the Seattle defense, can be able to consistently stop this 49ers offense for 60 minutes. And, you know, I think maybe the first quarter, we might see, you know, some teams just kind of feeling each other out. But then after, I think the second quarter, after from there on, we're going to see the Niners just dominate on both sides of the balls, and, you know, probably include special teams in that too. So I look at it from this standpoint that, yeah, you know, you never want to underestimate an opponent. And I think the Niners learned that lesson against the Raiders a couple weeks ago back on New Year's Day, that you don't ever want to do that, because guess what? You're going to get slapped in the mouth, and it's going to become as a big shock, and you're going to look, you know, embarrassed. And I think the Niners realized they didn't want to be embarrassed by the Las Vegas Raiders, and they almost were. And so now that's a lesson learned from this team. And I think they're going to use that to go forward for Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the only thing I'll find interesting too is that how much football is being played these days. So the Niners are playing, I think, is it two more games total now, because it's 17 games plus four playoff games now, if you count the Super Bowl?
Yes. So, wow. 21 games, which now takes for you to win a Super Bowl if you're not the number one seed. And,
yeah
it's going to be a challenge for sure. And I'm not, you know, saying that they're going to have a cakewalk through this playoffs, but they're playing so well right now that it's hard for me to fathom, you know, anyone in the NFC, even including Philadelphia right now, who have not played well this last few weeks themselves. And they've been dealing with their own quarterback injury with Jalen Hurts. So, you know, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered on that team. And I, like I said, I just think the Niners right now are the team to beat. But, you know, the way I see it is the Niners right now are playing the best football out of the entire NFL.
Look at this. I've never seen that before in my life. A little carousel kick at the Patrick, back throw, a throwback screen. And they call Tony on the hold. That's not a hold. Tony just depleted Amik Robertson. Humphrey got called for the hold, I believe. That's incorrect.
Well, it wasn't Tony either.
Here's Tony. Takes the end around. Into the end zone. Single is touchdown for Kadarius Tony. Lots of razzle-dazzle here by Kansas City.
Now back to Bay Area Sports Wrap with Marco Ukalovich and Ryan Leong.
All right, welcome back to Bay Area Sports Wrap. We're going to finish off this podcast by doing an autopsy of the Las Vegas Raiders 2022 season. And, it's, you know, you look what happened in their final game against Kansas City. I was there. I happened to be in Vegas for the week, and so I was able to get a – press pass for that game. And, you know, Kansas City made them look silly in that game. They do that whole ring around the rosy thing in the huddle. I don't want to say, you know, BS, but it was BS that they did that. And, and they pretty much scored. It wasn't for a holding penalty.
Right.
You know, that should have been a touchdown, but they dominated that game from start to finish. The Raiders were never really in it. And, you know, Jared Stidham, who played great against the 49ers, came back down to earth in this game against the Chiefs, and, you know, they were all over him, and he couldn't do nothing about it. You know, Josh Jacobs, he didn't do anything in this game. You know, I know Darren Waller, who finally, after, what, 14 games, finally establishes himself when it's already too little, too late. We did have a good game. He made some nice catches. But just looking back at this season, with all those blown leads in the second half, five blown leads to lose those games, and those were the difference of why the Raiders are not going to be, you know, participating in this playoff round. They're going to be watching it like me and you, Ryan. And the reason why is because they just were not prepared for to play 60 minutes worth of football. And I just, all to me, goes back onto the coaching staff of Josh McDaniels. And, you know, I just got just, you know, great coordinator over the years, offensive coordinator, but he's not head coach material. And, you know, I asked him after the game,
how would you assess your coaching job this year? If you had to give yourself a grade, and how are you going to be able to learn to have your team close out games in the second half as opposed to this year when you guys weren't able to do that?
I'm not going to grade anybody, but, you know, look, I mean, we are what we are, you know, and so I know there's things I can do better, and I'm going to, you know, evaluate myself first and try to do a better job of what I'm doing and what I'm responsible for, and I'm going to try to do that with our entire team. And so, look, the fact that you're in games, you know, gives you an opportunity, and now you have to do things at the end of those close games to earn the victories. And, you know, that's the nature of the National Football League. I mean, pretty much every game is going to come down towards the end. And, you know, and in order to win those, there's a lot of things you got to do right. And, you know, I thought today was a good example of, you know, if you make a few mistakes against this kind of a football team and you don't take advantage of the opportunities that you have, then the game can get away from you a little bit. And, you know, they've been together for a long time, and they've got, you know, a really good formula. They have a process in place that's pretty damn successful. And you know, we know who we're chasing.
Blah, 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 right? The typical coach speak, which you get in a press conference. But, you know, I really think that, you know, he's just not, you know, what the Raiders need to go forward to get into that playoffs like they were able to do last year under an interim coach, Rich Bisaccia, where they won their final four games to finish 10-7 and go into the wild card round. This year, you know, they had more talent, at least on the offensive side of the ball. They should have, and they were supposed to have it on the defensive side of the ball with Chandler Jones, but none of that materialized. They got out to good leads against five different teams, and they were not able to finish off in the second half. And to me, that is all coaching right there. That's fundamentals. That's the execution, and that all falls onto the coaching staff, Ryan.
No, I agree. And I think one of the problems too is the Raiders are not using Las Vegas to their advantage. If anything, they're being cursed by being in Vegas. So who knows what these guys are doing? And I'll bring this up as an aside, because look at what happened with Henry Ruggs, right? That guy was out at I think he was at Topgolf, wasn't he? The night that he ended up, you know, over imbibing and unfortunately resulting in the death of a young lady because he was drunk behind the wheel. The Raiders need to play with better discipline. And I know we always say that, but especially now, like I said, playing in Sin City, they need to find a way to make other teams be the victim of going out, partying too late, being hungover, and not being ready to play football instead of the Raiders. Because the Raiders obviously are enjoying being in Las Vegas way too much, in my opinion. And who knows what those guys are doing? Because obviously, you know, it's not the biggest adult playground in the world for nothing. And the only other city that has a similar situation to that, to a lesser degree, because they don't have as much gambling, I don't think, is New Orleans. Long time ago, I used to go with our colleague Lee Leonard. We used to go to Montreal to go see the Montreal Expos play baseball. And that's another town that's a great party place. But the Expos played pretty well there because they use their home field advantage of playing at Olympic Stadium to help them. And so a lot of teams would come in and they just weren't focused because, again, Montreal is a fun city. You know, it's cosmopolitan. It's world class. Lots of beautiful women there. Great food. I wish you had a chance to go with us back in those days because it was a fun baseball town, and it's really unfortunate. I'm getting on tangent here, but the point I'm getting at is I think the Raiders are in that situation where they just aren't a focused team at all, and they keep finding new ways to like tinker with their team, and they get certain things working well. Like I think their offense was pretty good, right? But their defense was crap. I mean, they just had no defense to speak of whatsoever, and that's why it resulted in five games that were blown with 10-point leads. The Raiders should have been a 10-win team if they had their act together. So instead of being a 6-11 team, right? So anyway, they're just frustrating. And I know there were a lot of really, really upset fans at Allegiant Stadium. A lot of them, I think one fan had a sign that said, "We deserve better." They do deserve better. There's no question. And Raider fans have deserved better for the better part of the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, the one thing I'll speak to about the lack of a home field advantage for this team is that, yeah, you know, you got a town that's, you know, still learning to try to be a professional sports town. Okay. They got the Golden Knights, but again, they're only been there for what, 5 years? You know, the Raiders have only been there now for three. This town just really, it's made up of a lot of transplants as well from Southern California, Northern California, and really from all around the world. And so you're going to always got to have the opposing team have more fans there because it's the entertainment capital of the world. Like you mentioned, you know, about a town like New Orleans and Montreal, people are going to go there because it's Las Vegas. And you know, I think the locals will end up wanting to sell their tickets to the visiting fans because they figure they can make a buck on that, right? You know, for the ones who are local season ticket holders, I still think there's more Bay Area Los Angeles ticket season ticket holders than there is in Vegas. And you see how when the Niners took over that stadium on New Year's Day, 80-20 Niner fans to Raider fans. I would say this time around it was 60-40 Chiefs fans to Raiders fans, but still that's disgraceful. You never had that at the Oakland Coliseum.
No.
You know, that was an intimidating place to go and play if you were an opposing team, and they just don't have that atmosphere, and I don't think they ever will have that atmosphere in Las Vegas at Allegiant Stadium. Beautiful, nice stadium. It's got a whole different club in it down on the north end zone, but that's not what's going to intimidate people to go when they go and stop on the field there. You know, it's too much like being like in a casino, and that's the problem why this team will not have a home field advantage there. I mean, Mark Davis can bitch and about it all he wants, but he's the reason why they're playing there. And, you know, he should have known that, but this is going to show you, this guy really has no common sense whatsoever. It's unfortunate. And it's for the Raiders fans. It's going to be long, dark days ahead. I don't see this team flourishing at all under Josh McDaniels or David Ziegler, who, you know, I got the chance to shake his hand last week, and nice guy and all. But, you know, he brought over McDaniels because that was his guy, and now he has to live with it. And fortunately for the Raiders and Raider Nation, we're looking at possibly another 6-11, maybe even 5-12 team next year, because there's so many questions that they left unanswered at the end of the season. Who's going to be the quarterback next year for them? Obviously, Derek Carr is gone. Are they going to stick with Stidham? Are they going to drop the quarterback? Are they going to bring in veteran guy like Tom Brady or Jimmy Garoppolo? A lot of questions. Are they going to re-sign Josh Jacobs? Can they afford to sign Josh Jacobs now after a great season that he had in his fifth year?
Well, and then one more thing. Does he even want to stay there? Because it doesn't sound like he wants to stay there anymore, that's for sure.
That's exactly it. It's like, to me, if the only way they're going to keep him is if they overpay him. And that's the only way, because I think he's going to get a lot more competitive offers from a lot more teams that are going to be competitive and contenders who would love to have Josh Jacobs right now as their running back. And yeah, there's going to be so many questions that this front office is going to need to answer in this offseason that, you know, I don't see if they're going to be able to like fulfill all those needs. And at least not in one off season and not in one draft. So this looks like, again, dark days ahead for Raider Nation. I hate to say it, but that's just what we saw this season. And we'll see what kind of off season we have for this Raiders. But it was a horrible 2022 for them. It was such a season of hope that turned downright disastrous.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, one of the things where the Raiders were in a bit of a conundrum is I didn't see them staying in Oakland just because what they wanted for a stadium wasn't going to happen, even though they have a great fan base. So Vegas financially was a good move. The problem is they ended up moving to an area where they have no identity, right? If anything, they'd been better off moving back to Los Angeles. If they'd done that, I think they would have actually had – that actually would have been a better idea. The fact that not only did the Raiders screw up, the Chargers screwed up. The Chargers should have stayed in San Diego, obviously. Yeah. That's why they don't have a fan base in L.A. either. And so when the Raiders – do play in Los Angeles, when they play the Rams or the Chargers, they can overtake that stadium because a lot of Raider fans would rather just, you know, go to a game in LA.
Yeah, you're right. And exactly. You know, their strong fan bases are in the Bay Area and Los Angeles, not Las Vegas. And we've seen that over the last 2 years when they've allowed fans into Allegiant, the other fans' teams have taken over. And again, it's an unfortunate situation, but again, when you're in a city that's all about bringing in people in for and to entertain these people, that's what you're going to get at the Raider games now at Allegiant Stadium. It's going to be a type of thing where, you know, even if the Raiders can put a winning product out in the field, they're still going to see more opposing team fans than actual Raider fans. So a long list to do of offseason things for the Raiders. A lot of questions to answer, and let's see what kind of team that they can possibly field for next season. But I'm not going to hold my breath and, you know, hold out much hope for this team, Ryan.
Not at all. In fact, you know, you had a chance finally to meet in person. Our friend from Instagram, she goes by with Jen Baker Raiderette, right? And so,
yes,
you know, she really has become a big Raider fan. But I feel for her because I think she maybe went to a handful of games in Oakland, but you know, she really hasn't had a chance to really experience what a real Raider game is like. And my only regret too was I never had a chance to hang out in the Black Hole. You did a few times, right?
Oh yeah. Well, I used to have season tickets there from 2003 to 2005, so I know exactly what the
Black Hole. Did you get a chance to be in the front row of the Black Hole, or were you normally in the middle of the Black Hole?
Well, I was above, right above them. So the Black Hole was rows 1 through 20. I was in row 21, so I saw everything that happened in the Black Hole. I was just as loud as the people in the Black Hole that I had cops tell me to calm down. So that's the thing. I was there visiting my friend Stella. She sits in the quote unquote new Black Hole in section 124 there. And I'm sorry, that atmosphere just is not the same, and it'll never be the same. You know, you could put Gorilla, the Violator, Senior Raider, all these famous bands in that area, but it's still not going to replicate what they had in Oakland in the true Black Hole there.
Yeah, and even then, that took a while for that Black Hole to take place, because if you may recall, a lot of those Raider games in Oakland didn't sell out, and it wasn't until the NFL changed their sellout rules from 100 to about, I think, 80% or 85% that the Raiders started getting sellouts, and consistently until they moved out of Oakland.
Yeah, exactly. Well, again, they're going to sell out of Allegiant. It's just, it won't be all Raiders fans that are going to be attending. So, well, that pretty much wraps it up, the Raiders autopsy of 2022. And that pretty much wraps it up here on Raider Sports Wrap. We'll be back next week. We're going to watch Wild Card Weekend. The 49ers are playing the Seattle Seahawks. So we're definitely going to recap that game and all the rest of the NFL Wild Card Weekend games as well. And for Lowell Tuckerman, Ryan Leong, I have been Marco Yukolovich. Thanks for listening to Bay Area Sports Wrap. Have a great night.